But now I promise we will not talk about it at all. We're going to talk gardening and then cocktails. I don't know that much about gardening. We're going to learn more with Stacy Hervella, and then we're going to talk cocktails. I'd like to know how to make a margarita at home because it's no longer something you can go out and get. And so we'll talk about that coming up. But Stacy Hervella is joining us, so get your gardening questions ready. The garden centers are open. It's May 1st. They're allowed to reopen as part of the governor's new order. So you can go out and get the stuff, and this might be a good weekend to do it. Truly an expert in this space, horticulturist, easy for me to say, for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. Stacy, thanks for being on WGN.
Well, it is great to be here on such a gorgeous day. This weekend could not be more perfect for gardening, right?
I feel the same way. And I saw people like going out and they're posting on social media. Look, I just went to the garden center and I picked up this and I picked up that. It's kind of a, it's just an exciting time, right, of the year, because we've lived through the winter and you start thinking about your garden or your space and how to beautify it and how to make it better. Right off the bat, are there things that you should tell us about this time of year, planting and not planting?
I think a lot of people have been thinking about, you know, how am I going to be able to keep gardening this year? Everything is such a question mark. And I can tell you, you know, being in the horticulture industry, all of the garden centers around you are scrambling to find a way to make this work and make sure that you can still get the plants that you want and that you rely on every year to lift your spirits. So as a lot of people are saying, gardening is definitely not canceled. And really the first step to finding out how you can keep gardening this year is to contact your favorite garden center. You know, of course, they're really busy right now, but go to their website, go to their social media pages, and they are working really hard to get the message out about what they're doing, whether that is online ordering or curbside pickup or delivery or all of the above. You know, they're really working hard. So I think a lot of people are thinking, how is this thing that, you know, usually I get with my girlfriends or I go with my mom and we go to the garden center the first Saturday in May or the second Saturday in May. So things will be a little bit different, but yes, garden centers are open and they have so many wonderful things to sell you to make your home life so much more beautiful.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not great at gardening. I usually, when I start at the seed level, it doesn't really work very well for me. But if I just plant the flowers and plant the things in the soil, that works out well for me. So every year this time I pick them up and I just love seeing the flowers. But tell us, if you truly are planting, the things you can plant now and the things you should probably wait for a little bit on.
Well, so they are predicting, as lovely as this weekend is going to be, they are predicting some cold weather over the coming week or so. And, you know, honestly, it's not out of the ordinary for us in the Midwest to have a frost or freeze Mother's Day weekend. It's happened most years. So that doesn't mean that you can't buy the things that you see in the garden center and you can't plant them. It just means that you're going to have to be prepared to either bring them inside in the case of something like a hanging basket, or if you were to, say, go to the garden center and find a beautiful little lime hydrangea that you wanted to plant, you know, you have to know that that foliage is going to be tender. It hasn't been used to, you know, being outside and being exposed to all of those challenges. But that doesn't mean you can't plant it. It just means you have to have an old sheet or blanket or towel or something like that handy to just drape over the plant in the event that that kind of weather, you know, unfortunately hits. So really, it's a great time to start planting as long as you keep an eye on the weather and keep a couple of easy tools handy to just deal with anything that Mother Nature throws at us.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. You got to wait for the right time. You've got easy shrubs to ask for by name. So this is something you could just kind of go through and say, hey, this is what you ask for. What are your suggestions there, Stacy?
Yeah, I wanted to just suggest five really great plants that would do super well in the Chicagoland area, and in fact, throughout the entire Midwest, that were really easy to find at your local garden centers. And my first choice is little lime panicle hydrangea. And this is a dwarf version of limelight hydrangea, which is one of the most popular hydrangeas, easiest to grow hydrangeas that's on the market. And little lime is a dwarf version of it. So instead of reaching, you know, 8 feet tall, which a lot of people don't have space for, especially if you're in the city, this one reaches just 3 to 5 feet tall. So there's always a space for it. And what's so great about it, it's pretty much foolproof, and it really blooms for such a long time. Basically, you're going to start seeing flowers in mid-July, and you're going to continue to see flowers through fall, and then they'll be dried in winter for extra interest.
That's awesome, through fall. And you have At Last Rose, your second one.
Yeah, At Last Rose is the first fragrant disease-resistant rose. So a couple decades ago, actually, really the industry started turning away from a lot of the roses that people associated with being really high maintenance and hard to grow and needing spraying, and going to this idea of easy to grow, disease resistant roses that didn't need spraying. But one of the things that was lost in developing these, this high level of disease resistance, was fragrance. And At Last Rose combines all of that disease resistance that everybody has come to expect over the last several years with fragrance. It's a big, blousy, fabulous, old-fashioned rose with peach-colored petals, kind of like a sunset apricot-toned, and it's fragrant. It has the classic rose fragrance that so many people were missing. Now, it's a good, strong, shrubby rose, but this isn't going to be one of those roses that just has, like, three little stems, kind of needling out of the soil. This is a shrub rose, so it's got good presence in the garden, nice dark green foliage, super low maintenance. You're not going to have to spray it. You're not going to have to deadhead it or fool around like that. And it's going to bloom for you all summer with those fabulous fragrant flowers.
Okay, Sprinter Boxwood. Let's get through these, and I have a few questions for you too, Stacey.
Sure, Sprinter Boxwood. Yes. Now, you know, I can't say, if you're in the city, Boxwood is sort of a go-to plant. It's super disease, it's super shade tolerant, and it goes with every style of architecture. So Sprinter is my choice for a Boxwood if you just want something really simple, easy to care for, and evergreen. It's faster growing, so it'll just, and it just looks nice pretty much wherever you plant it. And I'm just going to get through my last two real quick. Sonic Bloom Weigela. This is a re-blooming Weigela. So, you know, Weigela is a classic old-fashioned plant that people love, big trumpet-shaped flowers in late spring. But most other Weigelas, they only bloom once. Sonic Bloom will bloom in spring along with all of the other Weigelas. It'll take a little break to put on some new growth, and then it will come back and continue to bloom from basically late July all the way through fall. So especially if you have a small space, it's really giving you a lot of bang for your buck. And my last one is similar, and that's Bloomerang Lilac. This is a re-blooming lilac. So just like I explained with Sonic Bloom, blooms at the normal time, but then comes back for more flowers. And again, you know, if you have small space, if you're in the city, if you have a container, all of these shrubs are good for containers. You really want to get the most out of that space. And these five shrubs will definitely do the trick.
Awesome. For Stacy, I have to tear up a 12-foot perennial bed, which meant digging up all my daffodils before the greens died down. So do I store the bulbs with the greens still attached until the fall?
A lot of people think that, but no, the best thing that you can do is to just replant them right away. And in fact, I just did this in my own garden last week. So just go ahead and get them in the ground, because what's going to happen when you do that is that the plants will have a chance to put on new roots, which is what they would normally be doing, and wither that foliage away, and basically they won't even feel like they've had an interruption. So don't wait until fall like you would plant fresh bulbs that you're buying new. Just go ahead and get them in the ground, water them in, treat them like you were transplanting anything else, and they'll be fine.
Okay. Any other rules for transplanting in general? Because that's what a lot of people are doing, is they pick stuff up from the garden
centers. It's true, yeah. My number one tip on transplanting, and this is something that a lot of people don't think of, I think it's a no-brainer after I say it, but a lot of people don't think about it first, is that if you're going to transplant something, get the hole, the new hole, prepared as much as you possibly can before digging the plant out. A really key part of success with transplanting something is going to be minimizing the time that it spends out of the ground with its roots exposed to the sun and the wind and all of those forces which are just going to cause it stress. So if you can get the hole as closely prepared as possible to what you think, you know, you're going to need to get it into the new home, do that. Then dig it out, then go ahead and move it to this new home, backfill it, and of course, water it in. It's so important after you transplant to make sure that you're watering to settle the soil around the roots and just basically rehydrate the roots from any stress or desiccation they may have experienced, you know, during that time. But it's such a good time to transplant because, you know, things aren't really growing too much yet, and they have the entire summer and the entire growing season ahead of them to recover.
Is it true that you have to shake up the roots or loosen them up a little bit before you put them in, or do you recommend just going right from the packaging to, or whatever they come in, plant that flower
sure.
right in?
Yeah, so if you're transplanting something, like you have something in your yard and you're moving it to a different place, you really want to minimize the root disturbance. But if you have a new plant, and this is true whether it's like a flowering annual that you plant in a container, a perennial like a hosta daylily, or a shrub like the ones that I just went over, like Little Lime or At Last Rose, you do want to break up that root ball a bit. Because what happens basically is that the container that you purchased it in acts as kind of a mold, and it will just make the roots grow around and around and around and around. And eventually, yes, they will break out of that. But if you just take a little bit of extra effort to kind of suggest to them, like, hey, you're not, you know, restricted to this tight little container anymore, and you can spread out your roots and start to grow, it will respond to that much more quickly and won't have to spend time kind of, you know, unwinding itself. And a lot of people feel really intimidated by that. They think, oh my gosh, you know, I could really harm this plant if I do that. But honestly, you know, I don't think that most people would do enough damage to really make it serious. So especially if it's like a big, thick ornamental grass or a shrub like ours, if you can't pull it apart with your hands, just go ahead and get your hand pruners and just make a couple of slices in the root ball. It'll be just fine.
Okay, we got a time for a call with Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. You got a question for Stacy about gardening? You're on WGN.
I do. Thanks for taking my call. So we moved into a house last May, and it has this amazing, mature, beautiful Japanese maple. And about maybe midsummer, late summer, it just pooped out on us, I'm assuming because of the polar vortex. And now there's some shoots coming up from the bottom. And it's this beautiful, like I said, mature maple that we don't want to get rid of and start from scratch. But if we need to, we can. Is there something I can do with those roots that are coming from the bottom or the shoots? I know that's a sign of distress for some trees when they start to shoot, you know, offshoots from the bottom.
Right. Is that the only growth that it's putting out, is the growth at the bottom?
Yeah, it's about probably, I don't know, 12 inches tall, each of those shoots, and there's probably a couple dozen of them coming out, but it's like maybe from 8 inches below the, you know, base of the trunk.
So none of the original branches are showing signs of life at all?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. Well, I would give it a little bit more time. It does sound like it experienced some serious dieback, but again, I would give it time. A lot of times if a plant has a serious setback like that, it's going to take it longer to emerge in the spring than it would have if it hadn't experienced that. And, you know, we've had a pretty cool spring, so it's not totally unusual for all sorts of plants to not be showing signs of life yet. But here's what I would do. Give it another couple of weeks to see if it comes back on those branches. And if not, then unfortunately that probably means that most of the canopy died. And you can leave those shoots to grow, but it will have a very different look. I'll tell you what, it would be a lot easier for me to give you this advice if I saw a picture of it. So if you'd like to go to provenwinners.com, there's a little button in the bottom right that says feedback. And you can just send a message there, hit shrub, attach a photo, and I can give you some personalized advice on what to do with your particular plant.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's great.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for your call, because that's a really cool thing that you do, provenwinners.com. And you just can take pictures of the issues that you have, and you guys let them know. That's very cool.
Yeah. Now, and I don't answer questions on the weekend. You know, I'm going to be out there in my own garden this weekend.
Yeah, so I mean, you have to do something for yourself, right?
I'll get back to you on Monday or Tuesday. But yes, we do, you know, it's really important to all of us at Proven Winners to, you know, not just have people buy our plants, but to truly be successful with our plants. And we just have so much information, whether it's on our website, or on social media, on being successful with our plants and with gardening in general.
Stacey, you've been a lot of help. Thank you so much. Thanks for giving us your expertise here on WGN.
It's my pleasure. Have a great weekend in the garden.
Thank you. You do the same.